Freedom Fiends! We're so small government, we make Grover Norquist look like FDR. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean all the way across parts of the country in Wyoming. How's it going, Mr.
Across
Dean?
The frozen plains. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West in the occupied states of America.
Fiend drone.
Yes.
Yes, today we will have a discussion of drones and some common, misconceptions in an article that was ostensibly written by a former drone operator, but we'll go ahead and take a look at that. We're also going to talk about the main theme, the overarching theme, of course, that, hey man, we're more small government than you small government types, so that makes us better at it.
So yeah, the name of this episode is We're So Small Government That We Make Grover Norquist Look Like FDR. For those people who don't know who those people are, explain who Grover and FDR are.
Grover! He's not really a politician, but he is a Beltway insider. He's got his finger on the pulse. I guess you could call him...
He's got his finger on the throat of the Republican Party.
Is he a think tanker? He writes stuff.
I think
and
he's a one-man
stuff.
Think tanker.
Okay, we can call him that. But... Most famous, I guess, for two things. First, saying that I just want government to be small enough that I can drown it in a bathtub, which is hilarious. He's also a great wit. He won like some stand-up comedy contest for Washington Insiders, or got second place at least.
He's the founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform, an organization that opposes all tax increases.
And he had a bunch of Republican politicians
pledge
to not increase taxes, and of course they all broke it all the time, or at least most of them did, saying things like, well, I care more about the American public than I care about some pledge I promised. I care more about stealing money from you than keeping my word.
To not steal money from you, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course... FDR stands for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who sort of ushered in at least a lot of the horrible big government programs, a lot of the big government philosophy that was then justified after the fact by the Supreme Court, which basically sets up the United States federal government as controller of all things. You know, FDR was a fan of people like Joseph Stalin and called him Uncle Joe. He was a fan of Italian fascism. And he thought that America should have similar, at least, economic structures to those centrally planned, price-controlling monstrosities that he saw in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with people who take pledges like this, politicians who, you know, also pledge to uphold the Constitution. But this kind of sums up why I think all of the Tea Party Republicans who signed this, most of them broke it, or all of them, didn't all of them probably except Ron Paul, broke it. And former Republican Senator Alan Simpson, Republican Wyoming, co-chairman of the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, which is an Obama appointment, has been particularly critical of Norquist, describing Norquist's position as no taxes under any situation, even if your country goes to hell. So basically, people who opposed Norquist wanted to look tough while running for office. Then once elected, there was business as usual. It was loot, pillage, and steal from everybody at the point of a government gun, at the threat of, if you don't pay your taxes, men with guns will come to your house. Well, first they'll send a guy with a clipboard, and if you tell him to go to hell, they'll send a guy with a clipboard and some guys with guns, and if you tell them to go to hell, they will point guns at your head and throw you to the ground, and if you struggle, they'll either throw you in a cage or they will shoot you in the head. That's how government works.
It is. And one of the reasons why critical statements of Grover Norquist's tax pledge, like Alan Simpson said and others have said, one of the reasons they're so scary, dangerous, and just flat out wrong is there's a non sequitur there. In the Alan Simpson comment, he's basically setting up, without making an argument, that taxation helps the nation. The implicit truth behind it is that if you tax, things will be better. Same thing with the other guys. Well, I care more about the people than some pledge.
But
he's implying that if you tax, then everything will be hunky-dory. But taxing and government control of the economy is what got us into pretty much every mess, or at least had a contributing factor to any mess that's in the newspapers nowadays.
But Nima, without the government, who would build the drones?
Exactly. No one. Well, Domino's would, and they would deliver pizzas to you via drone.
Yeah. Yeah. And Obama needs those drones so he can murder children around the world. And
yes,
eventually,
he's so
probably,
good at it.
Probably here. He says he's really good at it. That's what he says when he comes out of his meditative sleep chamber where he's been lying in his coffin made of the blood, the bones of Middle Eastern children.
Right. He wears a peace symbol, says namaste, and and then he imagines little kids' fingers and bones being ripped from their bodies.
Tell us, Nima. Tell us what Obama's done to you today.
What did Obama do today? I don't know. It's Sunday. He's probably just meditating on all of his horrible atrocities and smiling and talking about how good he is at them. I don't know what he's doing today, man. I'm more upset at the French foreign minister. Obama was actually going to get something right.
Before we get there, I want to play devil's advocate to ourselves. You know, the thing that's probably going to get us kicked off of conservative talk radio, we basically out-bash Obama, and with good reason. I mean, we say stuff that Rush Limbaugh would never say. He would never say that that Obama sleeps in a coffin made of the bones of murdered children. But Alex Jones might. I've heard Alex Jones say that he thinks Obama is literally Satan incarnate, which I think is pretty cool to say. But I want to criticize Sarah Palin here. When people are going to go, what? Wait, what? You don't like Obama, but you are critical of Sarah Palin? How? What? My head is exploding. Sarah Palin blasts Church of the Government. Let's talk about this a little bit. Former Alaska governor... half-term governor and 2008 Republican vice president nominee Sarah Palin edged herself back into election politics Saturday, delivering a speech at an important Iowa gathering. Palin was joined by other major Tea Party favorites, Mike Lee of Utah and Steve King of Iowa, not to be confused with the other King, senator from New York, Peter King, who is a Republican who wants to take your guns, and he's on the Joint Terrorism, Anti-Terrorism Task Force of the DHS or something, and he, back in the day, donated money to the Irish Republican Army, which is recognized as a terrorist organization by the U.S., so I guess he knows his business to be on there, so...
It takes one to know one.
Yeah. Let's see. Also in attendance, speaking, were conservative intellectual and activist Phyllis Schlafly at the Iowa... You know, there's a Dead Kennedy song that we like that says some really rude, un-radio-friendly things about Phyllis Schlafly that I can't quote, but we...
I don't know who that is. You know, I've heard her name
you
before.
Know who Dead Kennedys are. Well, put it way. I mean, they broke up in, like, 1980, so or 86, so she's someone who's been... somebody for a long time. So Palin has repeatedly flirted with politics, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Everywhere it seems that faith, religious freedom are under attack, Palin says. And let's see. She has a new book Palin wrote called Good Tidings and Great Joy, Protecting the Heart of Christmas. The war on Christmas is just the tip of the spear in a larger battle. The church, Palin said, comprises largely of President Barack Obama's administration and the scandals plaguing it. Big government's efforts have to become a church in their own right. Now, we agree with part of this. We agree 100%. I don't think Obama is a secret Muslim. First of all, because he kills so many Muslims of all types. And, you know, Muslims do kill other Muslims sometimes, but it's usually this group of geographic or this type of Muslim. But
he's
kills
equal opportunity
all.
Destroyer.
Yeah, so he can't be a Muslim, man. That's just insanity. He's I guess you'd call him a secular humanist, but I would take it beyond that. I think he is someone who believes in... We said this like 2 years ago. I think Palin's like staff is listening to Freedom Fiends, because we said 2 years ago that Obama believes in religion, and it's the religion of the state, and it's the religion of him, and it's the religion of... It's not even him. And, you know, people say Obama's racist or whatever. I think he is post-racial, in that I think the only race he sees are those who are with him and those who are against him. I think he doesn't care what your skin color is. If you worship the state, he loves you. I don't think he cares what your skin color is. If you criticize the state and criticize him, he's against you and probably eventually would like to see you droned. So
yeah.
I agree with Palin on that. The people in power now consider the state a religion, but I believe that she's being hypocritical because I believe she also thinks the state is her religion. She believes that the Constitution is inspired by God, going back to it can protect America, when everything that's happening bad now, basically a lot of it is allowed by the Constitution. It's not an imperfect document. It's not handed down from above.
You mean it's not a perfect document?
It's not a perfect document. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also, it seems really disingenuous to write a whole book and start giving speeches, and your central platform is an attack on Christmas, as if there weren't a million other higher priority problems in the world right now. And yes, I think there is a root cause, but I highly doubt that many people would agree that the root cause is that people aren't supposed to say Merry Christmas anymore. They're supposed to say Happy Holidays.
And here's why I say that we're so small government, we make Grover Norquist look like FDR, because people like Sarah Palin invoke Grover Norquist and probably didn't get far enough in politics to actually violate the pledge she took with him. But, you know, people like that, they're one of their big arguments, and one of Palin's arguments is like that there's a war on Christmas because people don't want nativity scenes in front of the state courthouse. I think that's asking the wrong question. The Freedom Fiends are much more small government than that, because we don't think there should be a state courthouse, man.
Ah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and then you wouldn't have to argue about Ten Commandments being there or not, and whether or not the state is based on Judeo-Christian principles and all these kinds of things. Here's the thing. If you want Judeo-Christian principles to inform your life, your family's life, your morals, your family's morals, then go to church. Nobody's supposed to stop you from that, and it's illegitimate for anybody to try to stop you from that. If you want that to be the law in your life, then let it be. But let the people who don't agree with that have their own separate system so that they can be happy too.
And don't impose. Argue over the commons. There shouldn't be a commons.
Exactly.
Everything should be privately owned.
Exactly.
More on the Freedom Fiends.
Yes.
Soon.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. Say hi real quick, Michael.
I'm ready to go. And here's why I want to go, because I want to talk about how it is a moot point of whether or not the Ten Commandments should be in front of a courthouse. Because first of all, there shouldn't be a state courthouse. And second of all, we're going to show in no uncertain terms how the existence of the state, the government, of all governments, violates each and every one of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. I mean, that's pretty self-evident. That's what we're talking about. All people who believe in the government, believe to going back to when it was good, want to take it to the future, however you want to slice it, you are putting something above God. You are kicking God off the throne. If you're a Christian, if you're any devout religion, you should not be believing in the state to fix your problems, and you should not
And the courthouse is the perfect example, because it sets up men, fallible men, as the judgment,
right,
not God,
right,
as the judgment of people. And what's the parable in the Bible where they brought the adulteress to Jesus and he said, cast the first stone. If you're perfect, then you can judge whore, but none of you are me, none of you are Christ, none of you are perfect.
Judges so and prosecutors believe they are perfect enough to cast the first stone.
Yep. And they're not.
Yep, and they're not. Second one is, you shall make no graven images. There's graven images all over. I mean, all
flag,
the signs of the state.
The Lincoln Memorial. The White House.
The eagle statues. The fringe on the flags. All of it, man. Courthouses are churches made of marble and granite and brass and gold to worshiping the state. They are mammon. They are... you shall not take the you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. People do that when they swear on the Bible. You know, there's some people whose religion won't even Christians who won't swear on the Bible. They won't take an oath. It's un-Christian to a lot of people.
Not only that, but all the talk about this is a Christian nation as it does things that violate the Ten Commandments. That's taking Christianity's name in vain. On the money, it says, in God we trust. Does anybody believe Bernanke?
Does anyone trust the money?
Is a godly man?
Yeah. And people often say we're a Judeo-Christian nation when they're Christians, which is interesting. I think that's because the Judeo part is they really like the Old Testament, because it's the part that has all the kill people for being different than you kind of stuff, which is actually just abdicated by Jesus' new covenant. You know, it just throws most of
it
out the window.
That's such an important point. Such an important point is that all this silly old law stuff from Leviticus and the Old Testament, Jesus said, I am now the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So basically, Jesus repudiates all that and says, now the only thing is believe and have faith in me and what I do and what I say. And if you read the New Testament, Jesus is a peace lover. You know, blessed are the peacemakers. He's peaceful and he's not into all that punishing and chopping hands off and pulling eyes out kind of stuff.
Yep. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That might be the only one that the state generally does.
I was going to say that.
They love a day off, man. They love a day off. Although I'm sure there's prosecutors who work on making cases on a Sunday at home or in their office to railroad somebody who didn't really do anything that had a victim. But yeah, that might be the one that they might sort of honor, at least officially honor. You know, they close their doors and go play golf. They don't keep it holy, probably. They probably don't go to church. Or if they do, they're probably being hypocrites, because they're sitting there asking for God's blessing in how to further state people. Stating should be a dirty word, man. That should be a word you can't say on radio. The S word. Don't state me, bro. All right.
Yeah, well, it's like Dalton's podcast is called Decline to State.
Yes.
And it's kind of a playoff of that.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, it's a double entendre. And we're going to talk about the French later. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. I mean, I would say that the way that courts often split up families when there's no problem, and the fact that
the CPS, government, man.
Yeah, and the government wants to be your federal family. They've realized that government is a dirty word, to the point where prosecutors won't let lawyers refer to the prosecution as the government. And the lawyer filed a motion to if you're going to do that, I'm going to be referred to as Captain Justice, which was pretty funny. We covered that recently.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, there's so many horrible examples of them taking kids away from parents. That's not honoring the father and the mother, and SWAT raiding parents because of their decisions. There was that woman who refused to take or give her kid a certain prescription because she thought it would harm him, and she had done research on it. And a SWAT team was sent to her house to force this on the kid. Or the fact that CPS, Child Protection Services, often have quotas, or at least in their heads they do, because they want to get more funding, so they want to do a lot of work. So they have a very low threshold for taking kids away from parents. There's a case in Austin recently where they took a kid away from a father because apparently a neighbor had snitched that the father had smoked pot every now and then. They took the little girl away, put her in foster care. Her foster parents beat her to death. Now, how is that in line with the Fifth Commandment?
And the new mayor of New York City wants to raise taxes even more to send all kids to preschool, like send kids to school at age 3. And Obama wants to extend the school year through the summer. I mean, basically, they want to have their fingerprints on your kids 24/7, so the family just fades out of the picture.
Disgusting. We'll be back with more. We'll get to the other five commandments on the Freedom Fiends. This trip to the market.
Yeah.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
And we're back on the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. We were explaining the Ten Commandments to you, dropping mad science about how the state violates each and every one. Well, I guess except for the Sabbath day so far.
This is Michael Dean, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends with our Signs of Evil Countdown. Signs of Evil Countdown number 5, how the state breaks the commandment, you shall not murder. Number 6.
You shall not murder.
It's like Casey Kasem, man. We got signs of evil. The signs of evil countdown.
That's from The Simpsons. Top 10.
That's from The Simpsons when they're like driving across Texas and all they got on the radio is like Tejano and religious talk radio. And it's like
Jesus and Jesus.
Yeah, the religious talk radio. Like one of them is Casey Kasem actually did the voice on it. And he's like, "You're back for our signs of evil countdown."
Yeah. Well, I think number 6, you shall not murder. Before I can get into it, I want to say that number 1 through 5, it's all long sentences. Number 6 is 4 words only. You shall not murder.
You got to look at it like how bad the state is at ignoring written demands when they exist on written demands backed by the threat of murder. Mm. A good example is the Second Amendment. It's the only the Second Amendment is the only amendment in the Constitution. To the Constitution that has the words shall not be infringed in it. Yet constantly every politician, you know, including Reagan, who is the pinnacle of conservative hagiography and hero worship and putting man over God by invoking his name. You know, all politicians find way. They say, well, it's not unlimited. The founding fathers couldn't have pictured blah, blah, blah. And then they find ways to infringe it. So the state isn't good at really clear directives like you shall not murder.
You shall not murder. Yeah, it's not you shall not murder unless you're wearing an American flag. It's not you shall not murder unless you're wearing a badge. It's not you shall not murder unless you're wearing camouflage. It's just you shall not murder. And it's not, at least according to this version, it's not you shall not kill. So I don't think it precludes self-defense. But initiating the murder is, I'm assuming, what it's going for. That's
Jesus,
what murder
who
is.
Would Jesus drone? Who would Jesus drone?
Yeah, nobody. Except, well, I don't want to go there. All right. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You can go off on it in other ways. But even if you completely bought the line that the war on terror is completely justified, at least the continuation of it after the initial attack on the Taliban, but everything that's happened since then, the Iraq war, even if you buy that that's completely justified, what do you say to all the people that were gunned down at checkpoints? Points. that ended up just being innocent families that didn't speak English, couldn't understand the directives? What about all the quote collateral damage of the people that were destroyed, blown to little bits at wedding parties? What about the double tap drone strikes where ambulance workers come out to help the people who had been droned previously and are then droned?
What about the wedding parties? What about the wedding parties? And weddings are full of children and women and non-combatants, and they drone them and kill 40 people. Yeah, and you're a DJ, so and a wedding DJ, so you don't like that. Yeah, and they, you know, the United States will kill to get one guy they think is a bad guy at a wedding because they know he's going to show up at the wedding. They blow up the whole wedding party. And, you know, if you're anti-abortion, you're aborting people when you blow up a wedding party because there's always pregnant women at every wedding I've been to.
Yep. And I go to weddings every weekend, and I can confirm that. Yep. And if there's not, there's at least young children, and you could call it, you know, a 57th trimester abortion. Or I guess that's too many, but you get the point. Number seven, and I'll let you riff on this. Ugh. You shall not commit adultery. And it's obviously Bill Clinton, but also the Republicans, too.
And we just say Bill Clinton because he was such a bold example of adultery. He lied in such lawyer language that it spawned a phrase, Clintonese, you know, saying, well, it depends on what the I can't do his accent. It depends on what the definition of it is, whether or not he had sex with that woman.
And, I can see that because it refers, you know, it's a generic pronoun referring to, it could refer to any body part, you know?
Yeah. So, and I also give him his example because he is a pinnacle to liberals of a great liberal. And he's still in politics, man. He is advising Obama. He's speaking to the UN. He's talking about how we need more laws. He's working backroom deals with Bill Gates. He's doing all sorts of things. And
he's going to be the first husband in a couple of years, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and when Hillary gets elected, which is horrifying, it's just horrifying to us, but you only have yourself to blame if you went along with the whole voting thing. If you went along with, well, we got to vote for a Republican, or even if from the minarchist view, if you said, well, I'd like to vote for Ron Paul, but he doesn't have a chance. And when enough people said that, he didn't have a chance. And he is literally, Ron Paul was literally the only politician that ever had a chance to be president of the United States of America that would have changed things, because he would have brought the troops home. He would have ended the war on drugs. He would have said, hey, we don't care what kind of guns you have as long as you're not shooting people with them. He was the only guy that really held up the Constitution. And we have
couldn't
issues.
He have also truncated all of the cabinet level organizations like the FDA, the EPA, all the regulators that legislate.
The DHS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, DEA. And, you know, if you don't do drugs and we don't do drugs, and if you like guns and we like guns, you should be against the war on drugs, because the war on drugs is training for the guys that are going to take your guns away. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
but back to adultery. How else is the government a violator of the Ten Commandments?
Well,
the
it's not just
the Seventh Commandment.
I can't really think of ways that the government did it in general, but I can think of the way that a lot of politicians have done it. And it's not just Democrats. Larry Craig, prominent Republican, pro-family, you know, we got to get rid of these homosexuals, not only committed adultery, committed homosexual adultery, and was arrested, I believe, for it, wasn't he? Because he was doing it in public. He was in an airport.
Sure.
Lewd conduct in a men's bathroom. Yeah, let's see. George W. Bush. I got your attention now. George W. Bush, Republican president. Now, this is just an accusation. He was accused in a criminal complaint and lawsuit of raping Margie Schrodinger, who was later suicided. That's interesting. Was later suicided. Mm. That's interesting terminology.
Suicided, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like
I guess
it was done to her.
Schrodinger's cat, we found
we
out.
We opened the box, and Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I should have gone there or not. But also with You Shall Not Commit Adultery, this is kind of a stretch, but I'd like to mention it. What about the concept that the welfare state and what some people would call the, quote, social safety net helps to destroy the family because it sets up an incentive structure
where the dad can split. Yeah.
The dad, not only can the dad split, but the mom has an incentive for the dad to split, or to at least not have the dad in the home, because if she can prove that she's a single mom, she's going to get more of them welfare checks.
And speaking of being deadbeats, Ken Calvert, Republican congressman from California, champion of the Christian Coalition and its family values, was sued as an alimony deadbeat by his ex-wife, said, "We can't forgive what occurred between the president and Lewinsky." In 1993, he was caught by police receiving oral sex sex from a prostitute and attempted to flee the scene.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, and this Ray all sounds Cohen. Very similar to Commandment number 9, which we'll get to in a minute.
Ray Cohen, Republican, continually condemned gays and gay rights, was a closet gay who died of AIDS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark
yeah.
Foley.
And so that's bearing
Mark Foley,
false witness, man.
Mark Foley, U.S. Representative, Republican from Florida, engaged in sexually explicit text messaging with 17-year-old males who were former pages. He'd been a chairman of the House caucus for missing and exploited children. No, man, this just
wow.
I mean, this
you found a good list there, didn't you?
This list is so long, we could spend our 2-hour show reading it. Rush Limbaugh, triple divorcee, 30 pill a day drug addict. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, divorce, I don't have a problem with divorce. I think it's better than people staying together, and that may rub some people the wrong way, but I don't have a problem with people being a drug addict. I have a problem with people being a drug addict and being in favor of the war on drugs.
Well, the
is.
Thing I think is wrong with adultery is that it's the breaking of a contract. You know, it's you promise to be true to somebody and then you break the contract. Now, if you decide to divorce, then you're saying, I agree to break this contract. You agree to it. Let's dissolve this bond, this union, and then you can do whatever you want. It's more disingenuous. And I would say it's not moral to break your contract and not do it in a way where you say, hey, I agree to break this. You just go ahead and ignore it. You know, that's what adultery is.
Bill O'Reilly, right-wing conservative talk show host on Fox News, was sued for sexual harassment by his producer. She had graphic details, including tape recordings. O'Reilly's wife was pregnant at the time. O'Reilly settled and paid millions of dollars rather than have his details become public. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, like you said, we could go on that for the whole show. But
yeah, if people want
number seven
want,
is thoroughly
want
to, violated.
If people want to find this, I want to list our source. It's a site on Decosopedia, and just search the term "examples of Republican hypocrisy on moral values." And we could go on and on with Democrats too. I mean, just politicians who say that who are the pin. You know, people uphold them as you are the person who is better than me, so you should make my decisions, which is what it is. Often make really bad decisions and lie and mess over their family members. So go on.
Yep.
Yep. What's next on our
number 8
top 10 countdown of
we could spend a whole show on this too. Number 8 is you shall not steal.
That's what governments do by definition. Taxation is theft at the threat of murder if you don't pay it, yes. Or the threat of taking yes. your stuff.
Governments cannot exist without taxation or central banking, which is another form of theft because it devalues the currency. It's like when the Romans shaved money out of their coins and still circulated them with the same fiat value.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the government could exist without that. And if it did, if you said, well, what if the government was set up with donations? Well, then we wouldn't have a problem with it. It would cease as long as it didn't have a monopoly on that kind of a thing. If it was completely voluntary, because it being based on donations would imply that people are agreeing to fund it, and if they decided they didn't like it, they would just stop funding it, and so it wouldn't exist anymore.
Let's get through this list really quick before the break. There's two left. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I mean, governments do that all day long. Prosecutors do that. The new NSA backdoor plan of feeding the DEA tips, having the DEA bust people, and then writing backwards wrong, mm-hmm. false,
justice laundering.
Justice laundering. That came out recently. That's an example of it.
Yeah. Not only that, but police are trained to lie. They're trained to use lies and deception to get
drug dogs,
information.
Drug dogs are trained to go off whether there's drugs or not so they can search your car and find your magazine that has 11 mm-hmm. rounds instead of 10.
Yeah. And hey, the TSA is sneaky about that too. They have the I forget what they call it, but where the guys will basically grill you, and if your facial expressions give them a red flag, they will go ahead and search you more thoroughly.
I don't know, that kind of makes sense, and I think that in a libertarian paradise that would probably exist too. They would probably use some kind of psychological profiling on certain airlines. There'd be ones where you couldn't. You could be on the everyone
ones where you couldn't. Exactly.
Everyone carries a nuke. You could be on the everyone carries a nuke airline if you wanted. We'll be back with number 10 on our top 10 talent countdown of tyranny of how the government violates the Ten Commandments when we get back from the market on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We're at the bottom of hour one of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. We're also at the bottom of our list of Ten Commandments and how the state violates those by their very existence through the light of some examples.
It's basically a fallacy for the government to have the Ten Commandments anywhere. Fallacy today. That's my little bump for that. Fallacy today.
Well, I had a few leftovers on number nine, which is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I know that's kind of self-evident, but also we missed a couple of recent things and things in general. Barack Obama saying that you can keep your old health insurance. A lot of people finding out that no, they can't.
And George W. Bush, the first, King George the first Bush saying, read my lips, no new taxes. And then first day doing taxes. Yep. And George W. Bush the first holding up a bag of crack on TV and saying this was saying this was purchased in the park across the street from the White House, when it was actually they set up a drug bust in a park that had no drug sales just so they could say it. And the guy didn't even know where the White House was. They had to give him directions, and he lived in D.C.
Yep. How about the Gulf of Tonkin, which is what Daniel Ellsberg's Pentagon Papers, a lot of them were about, was there was this whole hubbub and people thought that the naval boats were getting fired at or the submarines were getting fired at. It was actually a rookie radar or sonar operator who read it wrong. But the administration kept that tiny fact off the table so it could justify escalation in Southeast Asia.
We could talk for weeks about examples of the government and politicians lying, because it's what they do.
Yeah.
And but we want to go on to number 10 and then talk about how in the second hour we're going to have some redemption. We've talked about the problems. We're going to talk about what people can do about it, about the fact that the government breaks the Ten Commandments just by its existence all day, every day. So number 10, commandment number 10. Number 10 in our Signs of Evil countdown about the government
is you shall not
covet your neighbor's house. Now, how do they do that, Nima?
Well, it's written right into the Constitution, so they can do this and still be constitutional for all you Constitution lovers out
Eminent
there.
Domain.
Yes, eminent domain, which has gotten worse, I will grant that. Originally, it was conceived as, well, it has to be for the public good, like roads or something like that. Recently, it's been expanded to where you can do it because you want to build a strip mall that will increase the tax base
for the local government. Recently, they stole a government, some local government legally stole a privately owned and run parking lot, dug it up, and made a publicly owned parking lot.
And also in all the rhetoric, I guess you get this more from Democrats too, about eating the rich, taxing the rich, and how we can all live high off the hog if we just have more income redistribution. Isn't that coveting your neighbor's wealth?
It is. And that's what politicians get elected on, you know, especially Democrats. And it used to be that Democrats were the party of the KKK, and they were the party of slavery, and the Republicans, you know, freed the slaves. I'm kind of saying it like freed the slaves because the slaves
they
were
did it
on
as
their,
an afterthought. Yeah, it was a war tactic.
It was a war tactic. Yeah. And but the Democrats were the KKK. The Democrats were the racists. And then they realized that by letting poor black people have free stuff and stealing it from other people, and then eventually poor white people. Like I said, we're in a post-racial age. The Democrats and the Republicans don't care what race you are. They care whether you're with them or against them. But they did use stealing from other people to get the poor people's votes. You know, when the poor people couldn't vote before that, and eventually they could. And they just use it to steal stuff. That's their promises. Their promises are vote for me and I'll set you free, like in that song Ball of Confusion, going all the way back to 1960 something.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, this welfare state, these programs that the Democrats pretend are for the betterment of what they consider racial minorities, they're just roundabout, reach-around slavery kind of stuff. Read Walter Williams and Wilt Allston and a lot of your great economists on this kind of stuff. They're actually create a permanent underclass. Things like the minimum wage make it illegal for people to work. They don't actually increase wages, they decrease employment. And we'll have a little bit more, or we'll have a lot more, I should say, on the opposite of this, the solution, the redemption, and what won't work and what could work here on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show.
Worms. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says buttons to get some Freedom Fiends buttons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, torrent our stuff so it lives forever.
Yeah.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. This is the top of hour two. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean, our other fiend. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in Wyoming.
Ah, excellent. And so in the last segment, we sort of took a direction that we came up with on the spot. We were discussing Sarah Palin's recent comments about how the Church of Big Government, or the Church of Government, is replacing what I guess she wants to be her Church of Judeo-Christianity, or whatever she wants it to be.
I've noticed that people who invoke that on comments often misspell Judeo as judo. Like judeo is of the Old Testament. Judo is a form of martial arts,
which you can use to defend yourself against. But
tyrants.
Anyway, there you go. Yeah, because that's what it boils down to. Because using the state to impose your values on somebody is not consistent with the values a lot of these people say they espouse. And so what we did was we took the Ten Commandments and we explained one by one through all 10 of them. We had our Ten Commandment countdown about how the state, by its not only its existence, but also its practice, violates these as a matter of course. And the solution is not to have better people doing it, because really the root of the problem is the concept itself, the power itself, and the legitimization of the power.
The fact that Obama wants to take your guns and that the next president is probably going to be Hillary because the Republicans voted for the winner, Romney, instead of the real guy who could have been the winner and would have changed things, Ron Paul, because of the "you got to vote for the lesser of two evils who has a chance." 222 years of that is what has led to where we are now. And there's this meme going around, image, an image that's being shared on the internet. It says, "This is literally what you sound like when you claim you voted for the lesser of two evil." And it's got like Facebook comments faked here. Read these comments.
Well, it's funny because it looks like the images of the people saying these things are artist rendering of suspects
criminals.
And crimes.
I know. They didn't want to use real pictures. But
yeah. The first one is a bald, looks like a
dude,
Anglo-Saxon kind of a guy. It says, quote, "I would rather have Frank babysit my children than George, since Frank has molested less children than George has."
And the next one says, and it's, I guess you're naming races, you're giving police descriptions here. So it's an African-American young male. That doesn't matter, I don't think. It's just people. This is what people sound like when they say,
yeah.
I guess what we're pointing out is all kinds of people say, "Well, I voted for the lesser of two evils." And
right.
What we're saying is that leads to evil. And this is really what you sound mm-hmm. like when you say that. The next guy says, "Sure, the supermarket sells poison food, but all the other markets sell it too. They need to stay competitive."
Right. And you see this, the best example of this recently is people who are trying to justify the NSA say things like, "Well, of course we spy on people. All governments spy on people." And the one that I think is more insidious is I was listening to NPR the other day by accident, and they did a whole package on how companies use your information when you make purchases to inform your future advertising or their future advertising to you, as if this is some scary data collection thing. And I think what they're trying to go for there is, see, the NSA is not so bad because Google and Best Buy also collect your data.
You cannot use Google and not use Best Buy.
Yes.
And you can just go into local stores and
buy
stuff
with cash. You
cannot
use a credit card. With cash, exactly.
But they are trying to get it all to the point where it's all numbers. And, you know, like Cody Wilson said yesterday, the printable gun guy said, he thinks that that is what John the Revelator was talking about when he's talking about the Mark of the Beast.
This is our theology heavy episode, I guess. But next we have a young lady here, or an image of one. It's not a real person. And the quote is, "Yes, I know the guy I'm seeing is a rapist, but what am I supposed to do? Stop dating?"
Yeah, and we're not making fun of people being raped. And we're going to talk a little later about how women can prevent from being raped by shooting men in the face who try to rape them. And we think that's a good idea because that's self-defense. Mm. But we're going to get there. We're not done with mm-hmm. memes. Now, this is a meme. Meme is a term meaning items of information that travel like a virus, that travel the way a virus or an idea or things that, or animals, you know, the way animals propagate across
or
the
genes.
Earth. Or genes.
I think genes. Yeah, exactly.
It's the gene mm-hmm. theory of information.
And so, right. And we always talk about it's all about tearing down the paradigm. And I guess sometimes we end up saying education, but I don't think that that's specific enough, because when you say education is the solution, the uninitiated or the less than informed or differently informed, I guess, would be the politically polite way of saying it. I think you're talking about sending more funding to public schools or something like that.
Yeah.
That is not
and
what
people,
we mean here.
People who, when we say we're against public education, people think we're against educating people and want people to be stupid. That's not true. We think that public education is incredibly immoral, pushes agendas, steals money, and turns your kids into little conformists. Public education, going back to the Prussian model, basically was to create compliant soldiers to fight battles to steal more territory. That is what public education, the modern model of kids showing up at the same place at the same time, all being taught at the same rate, sitting in little rows. It was to teach you to be a murderer for the state or to be, you know, a factory worker in a government-owned factory. That's what it's for.
Right.
And I'd also like
somebody
to say,
in support of the state.
Yeah, and I'd also like to say that we really believe when we talk about memes changing things, we're talking about people like Cody Wilson coming up with things that are, we're not just talking about posting images on Facebook, which are called memes and they get shared around. That's useful, but it's really nothing compared to like what Cody Wilson is doing, where he's creating a printable gun or a method of exchanging Bitcoin that cannot be traced, a method of doing trade that is not covered by any government or corporation, which is ever since money was changed, somebody came along and said, I want a cut of that and I'm bigger than you. So basically, he's coming up with meme-like information. He's not copywriting. He's not patenting it. He's not trademarking it. He's encouraging everyone to share it. That's the kind of memes that change the world. And then there's people who say, well, I don't like the idea of voting for lesser of two evils too, but we still have to vote because topic X is coming up in the next thing. And I'm in favor of that. And the guy who's running is opposed to it. So I got to vote for this other guy, regardless of what he might steal later or do later. You know, it kind of reminds me of junkies when they want to get sober, but they don't want to do it right now. They want to do it a week from now because they're like, well, I have this job interview coming up, or I have this project due in school, or I have to make this payment on my house, or I have to take my wife on vacation. And it's like, if you don't give up being a drug addict or an alcoholic, you're going to lose all that stuff anyway. So the time
it could be too late.
The time to go cold turkey is always now, not later. And voters saying,
yes.
Well, yeah, I don't like the idea of voting for lesser two evils, but we have to vote in this one upcoming important election because it's more important than all the other 222 years of important elections. This one's important to me. That's just perpetuating the whole thing. It really is.
Yeah, think of Jesse's girlfriend in that Breaking Bad scene. When you say things like that, what you're setting up is you choking proverbially or metaphorically on your own heroin throw up.
Yeah. And the state is like heroin, and it is like a heroin addict. And heroin addicts will go into debt and steal from other people to get heroin, even when they know it's ruining their life. I guess the difference is politicians and the state do it and don't, and they feel they're doing the right thing. They don't even justify it. They don't even say,
That's the big difference.
A problem, but I can't quit today. They say, what do you mean quit? You don't care about America. If you want to reduce taxes till they can be drowned in a bathtub, and we on the Freedom Fiends, we like Grover Norquist. He talks a good talk. He tried to get politicians to be good. It didn't work, but he's not a politician, so he's a good guy. But we are more small government than him. He wants to drown. We want to make fun of government to the point where it drowns itself in the bathtub and commits suicide because no one loves it.
Good feisty libertarian rant. Yes. Well, that's so beautiful that you bring up that point, that's the main difference is the heroin addict knows he's doing wrong. He knows it's ruining his life. He knows he should stop. It's just a problem of him trying to get the willpower to do it. The state doesn't think it's wrong. The people who support the state don't think it's wrong. And that's why it perpetuates, because until they realize that what they're doing is bad for humanity, bad for society, they'll never even attempt. They'll never even realize that they need the willpower to stop it. And so it'll never happen. And that's why I say that memes and mimetics is what we can use to hack that root, because that really is the root of legitimacy. It's legitimizing the evils of the state. It's legitimizing taxation. It's legitimizing war, legitimizing murder, all these awful things. And when I say memes, I want to clarify it even more. There's a thing called mimetics, which is the study of the way information spreads throughout culture. And it's not just humans. It's animals. You know, one monkey will figure out how to use this specific rock as a tool, other monkeys might catch on to that. Whales will actually come up with new songs. They'll have hit songs. You know, they'll sing one pattern of notes or frequencies, and whales across, you know, thousands of miles away will hear it and go, okay, I like the way that sounds. And then they'll start doing it.
Government is a bad song.
Information spreads.
Government is a bad song that people have been singing for thousands of years to where they don't know any new songs. Think about slavery, okay? If where we are at now is where people who were anti-slavery were, you know, in 1840, let's say. They didn't have a chance. Their ideas didn't have a chance. They were beaten up. They were killed. They were censored. But they knew in their heart of hearts that slavery was wrong. And people said, but without slavery, how would the cotton get picked? Well, the cotton gin hadn't been invented yet, and modern, you know, things change technologically. And things have changed technologically to where the state is no longer needed. Voluntary interactions can be done. You know, I saw a bumper sticker in San Francisco in 1996 that said, "Internet to replace government by 2020. And I think what they meant, I think it was probably a Democrat who was early on in the internet, because that was bustling with internet activity before the rest of the country was in that town in that year. I think what they meant was, in 2020, we'll have direct democracy. Everyone will vote on everything, which is horrible. It's a horrible idea, because basically people would just vote for people to directly steal things for them instead of going through the slow method of having other people steal for them. You know, when people say America's not a democracy, it's a republic. They don't even know what that means. That, and so is Iran. Iran is a republic. So is China. A lot of horrible. North Korea is a republic.
Well, if you want decision making to be more direct, then why are you still going to outsource it to one group or person who gets to decide what you do? Why not just make your own decisions and allow your neighbor to make his own decisions as well? That's the most direct form.
And the internet can
aid,
the internet can. Can aid that. And I'm not saying the internet is the great savior of everything, but it is an example of how people working from their bedrooms can change the world in ways that used to not be possible.
Yes.
The internet could replace the FDA. You know, you could have Angie's List could replace the FDA. You could have private research labs where people who need a job are paid to take some drugs instead of killing monkeys. Yeah, we could go on with many. We will go on with many examples of how things that aren't the government could replace things done by the government when we get back from the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, everybody, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you for sticking with us. Mr. Michael Dean, are you there?
Cat tongue.
Cat tongue, yes. And I put it to you that the state is awful and that the root of the state is the
God,
concept.
Are you still talking about the government?
I
always
am.
Always
no,
the
I'm
government
not. I'm
with
not.
You.
I'm not. I'm talking about the idea that some people get to lord it over us and use violence to steal from us and use violence to tell us what to do under the threat of violence if we don't do it. I'm railing against that idea, and I think that that idea can be replaced with other ideas, better ideas, more peaceful ideas, and then all that needs to happen is that those ideas be spread good enough to where they replace it. Imagine if being an IRS agent was a dirtier word than it is now. So dirty, in fact, that nobody wanted to do it at all. Imagine if when you told people that at a dinner party, they would stop talking to you, that they thought you were gross.
I know.
Imagine if saying something like that was like saying, oh, yeah, I love looking at pictures of naked little kids. Imagine if it had that level of stigma.
I've been at a dinner party where if you say you're a Republican, they'd look at you like you're a child molester. And the same, I've been at dinner parties where if you say you're a Democrat. But all those people, if you said, I'm an IRS agent, you know, they'd probably be like, oh, ha, ha, and make some, you know, self-deprecating jokes
about not auditing me or
death
something.
And taxes or don't audit me. Please don't audit me, bro. But really, that's kind of interesting. Is like taxes and paying taxes, everyone complains about them all the time and have since they've existed. But no one really damns it and condemns it, you know, like it should be. Yeah, should be.
And if
it really should be like you're saying you're a child molester. If you say you're a tax collector, I think it should be like that. If you're in any branch of anything in any government in any nation, I think people at a dinner party should drop their forks and like ask you to leave the room and have a discussion of whether they can still eat with you in the room. You know, I think when someone is sitting at the next table at a restaurant, and they say that they're anti-gun, I think you should get up in their face and talk to them about it. I really do.
And if you think we're crazy and off our rockers, you can call us and tell us why at 1-855-660-4261. That's the Freedom Fiends call-in number. Again, it's 1-855-660-4261.
Call us. If you work for the government, call us and tell us why it's justified in your mind, and we'll tell you why you're wrong. Or just call in. We like it.
Now, here's the thing. There are people who, I guess, just work because they need the paycheck. It's the poverty draft. Okay, fine. You're waiting. You've got 2 years left on your retirement. Whatever. But the thing is, it shouldn't be something you're proud of. Nobody should thank you for your service. You should keep it quiet. You should be embarrassed about it.
I don't know, man.
And say, well, hey, man, I'm just making a living. You know, I don't like it.
Edward Snowden worked for the government. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, because he had a plan the whole time. I mean, well, he worked there for like a month, got all the data he could, and then let us all know. He informed everybody.
He worked there longer than a month. He actually didn't work for the government. He worked for a contractor that worked for the government.
Right.
But that's working for the government.
And what he did, here's what he did, is there was that meme that all of us knew. We were like, yeah, of course the government spies on everything you do. But it mutated when Snowden put all these documents out, and people said, oh, not only is that something that we just say and think, it's proved right here. Look at all of these. And this is exactly how they do it. This is when they do it. This is who they do it to. And it made it such a more prevalent idea to where now, for the first time ever, at least since 9/11, people in polls say that they're more worried about the NSA spying than they're worried about terrorist attacks. That's how a meme mutates with new information. That's how you can help spread it. That's how you can get it to where it's a dirty thing to be a part of the state. It's a dirty thing to believe in the state. And that's the root of it. And that's how you win. That's how liberty defeats tyranny in the end.
But Nima, without the government, who would drone the children? Who would spy on us? Who would have cameras everywhere? You know, it's kind of interesting, all of the right wingers who totally back the Patriot Act, politicians and voters, like, yeah, we got to go get those brown people over in other countries. You know, when really, like, the whole, all of it, I'm not a 9/11 truther, but I basically believe that was an immoral, horrible act they did, and the people who did it should be punished. But not whole nations or geographic regions should be punished. Right. And I also believe that those people were reacting to stuff the U.S. government's been doing for 60 or 70 years.
Well, you don't even have to believe that. They said it. Muhammad Atta wrote a reason for why he was doing it. And Osama bin Laden wrote a declaration of war against the West that nobody ever covered in mainstream news. They didn't say, this is the list of reasons why they are attacking us. They just had these bromides about how, oh, well, they hate us for our freedoms and they hate us because women can go to school. When they didn't, Osama bin Laden, Muhammad Atta never mentioned those kinds of things once, at least not in those kinds of documents that they said they were attacking and starting 9/11 for. Yeah. And we'll be back after we go to this trip to the market.
Yeah. Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Freedom Fiends. Vote early, vote often. That's what gangsters used to say when they were running politicians, right, Nina?
Yes, gangsters, politicians, all the same thing. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I do have a little clarification. I got cut off by the break there. I guess not mid-sentence, but I didn't get to finish making my point. I was talking about Osama bin Laden and Muhammad Atta, who are horrible monsters, yes, but they didn't hate us for our freedoms, and that's important. Not because I'm justifying anything they did, but because you have to know why you're having a problem. If the problem is people attacking us or people attacking people in America, then you have to know why they're doing it. And if people lie about why they're doing it, then the solutions that get set up are going to be wrong.
Yeah, it's
and that's
not,
what happened.
It's not Britney Spears, you know, wiggling her tushy on TV. That's not why they killed Americans. They killed Americans because Americans have been sending Americans over there and acting like the police of the world to protect oil interests for 60 or 70 years.
I would say it's more than just oil, too. It's strategic interests and geopolitical interests. I don't think it's just about the oil, because the oil guys can set up their own deals, and that's fine. Even if it's not just American boots on the ground and things like that, it's also foreign aid. It's billions of dollars being given to tyrants in Middle Eastern countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and then the tyrants turn around and
arming what became the Taliban.
Right. So it's tax dollars that are stolen from you and then given to tyrants in other countries.
Yeah, and my final thought on that before we go to the phones is that was the lie. They hate us for our freedoms instead of they hate us because we're over there, you know, shooting them and taking their land and arming their enemies. That was the real truth. The lie was they hate us for our freedoms. And that was dumbing it down to bumper sticker size for for the average lowest common denominator voter. Not saying Americans are stupid, but for the people that don't have time to like really read and know the names and the histories of these things. But everybody said, "Yeah, man, go get them. Patriot Act is good. I'm for that." And didn't realize that the Patriot Act, we knew this, the Patriot Act was going to be used and is being used to target all those same, you know, right wingers who said, "Yeah, man, America, USA, Patriot Act, go get them." It has the word patriot in it. That is the thing that is being used to spy on you and put you on a list of, so when America's finished being fundamentally changed and Hillary is president and wants to round y'all up for disagreeing with her, they'll have a list because of the Patriot Act you voted for and you liked. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the guys who helped write the Patriot Act is now so against what the NSA is doing. He's saying, "Nah, man, that's not what I meant." To the point where it's a great example of how you
mission
give the government
creep.
A
mission
centimeter,
creep.
They take a light year. Yeah. Mission run, not just
hey, that's a
creep.
Good quote of me. I said that. You take a centimeter, they take a light year. Did you read that in one of my books?
I'm sure I've heard you say it at some point.
So let's go to the phones. We got we got a military vet calling in. It's Lou from the wonderful liberal paradise of Detroit. How you doing there, Lou?
I'm doing fine. How are you fellows doing?
Are you a liberal? You're in Detroit.
I tell people I am for my safety.
But sort of like after 9/11, everyone who didn't have a flag on their car put a flag on their car if they were any kind of brown or had a beard so they wouldn't get dragged out by a mob and killed.
Pretty much. And the Detroit area has the largest Muslim population outside of the Middle East. So there was a bit of tension, but
are they a threat to you? Are they a threat? Who's a threat to you in Detroit?
The Detroit police.
Okay. Is a bigger threat, are bigger threat to you than the Muslim community by far? Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you go to the Muslim community, they got stores and restaurants and they'll sell you stuff. If you go to Detroit, they'll take your money, beat you up.
The police, you're saying.
Tax you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The police and politicians.
Yep. Yep. You have more of a chance. You have an 11 times more. There's 11 times more probability that an American will be killed by a police officer than by a terrorist of any stripe. So you're calling in about, you're a vet. Tell us about your experience. Thank you for your service. It's Veterans Day tomorrow. And tell us what you think.
Well, I went in 1988 when the Soviet Union was the enemy and Saddam Hussein was the ally. And when I got out, Saddam Hussein was the enemy and the Russian Federation was the ally. So it was kind of... So it was kind of Orwellian in that regard.
Yeah.
But the big thing, because I remember how things were, and I've seen, you know, I've seen what it was like in East Germany and all these other things. But I thought I was in there fighting against state socialism. I was fighting them over there when I should have been fighting them here, because all the crap that went on over there is happening here.
And you don't mean fighting them here, taking up arms. You do mean an intellectual battle?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would be your advice for a young man, like, you know, if you had an 18-year-old cousin who didn't have a job and was thinking of joining the military, what would you tell him?
I want to recommend it because, like you said with 9/11, I bought into that same nonsense too. They hate our freedoms, and I repeated the slogans, talking points, and other useless nonsense, and I bought into it. But eventually, I just couldn't answer the questions honestly anymore and be the bloodthirsty neocon scumbag that I was. I had to change that.
Yeah, and basically, if you're in the military now, Obama is your boss. Isn't that basically how it works? And Hillary Clinton will be your boss in a couple of years.
Oh, God.
Well, I've been out for quite a long time, and I'm beyond them calling me back up for that mandatory 8 years of obligatory service. I'm way beyond that, but it's...
Wait, what's the mandatory 8 years? There's an 8-year window they can call you back without you agreeing to it?
Yeah, when you enlist, you sign up for an 8-year obligation. I signed up for a 4-year enlistment, and after that, there's a 4-year obligation for inactive ready reserve, to where if the stuff hits the fan, they can call somebody back up, and it's right in the contract. They explain it up front, so it's not like they're sneaking it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just look back at what has become of all these different wars, and I tell you what, if you want to talk to the real anti-war crowd, you talk to a lot of veterans.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about, it seems like there's almost a changing of the tide right now. American people overwhelmingly said no to involvement in Syria, and Barack Obama actually backed down. You know, he didn't pull a George Bush to where he just went ahead anyway, even though there was a lot of people protesting in the streets. He actually said, all right, fine, I guess we'll take this Russian deal, or at least see how that plays out. What do you think about things like that? What do you think about the prospect that there could be a peace deal, a nuclear deal with Iran? And a lot of people are putting a lot of eggs in that basket and saying, hey, this is a very a thing to be optimistic about. The Americans are on board with it. The French at the last minute said, no, no. but what do you think about, is the climate changing from what you see? And if you have any former veteran friends, how are they perceiving a possible change in America's global stance?
Well, realistically, there wasn't enough to rally support behind an invasion of Syria. And governments, although their existence is based upon the conquest of the governed, they actually do survive by consent of the governed. And had there been the right situation, you know, whether it been something real or imagined, you know, out of crisis an invasion could have happened. And I could possibly see a situation where they say, all right, well, this happened, and public opinion be darned, we're going to go in. And there are a lot of people out there that will say, well, I have to support the president, right or wrong, you know, even if he's using children's heads as a coffin. They're going to support because their status.
So you're just saying that next time they'll have to find a more insidious excuse rather than Assad's using chemical weapons on his own people. They're going to have to find something they can point to that makes Americans care more than something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much a flimsy excuse, but if something major were to happen, and then also if you look at the history of Iran, a lot of people are still burning over the embassy incident, and they completely forget about overthrowing Mossadegh and everything else because, you know, history with Iran started in 1979, not 1953. Right. I think given the right crisis, people will basically just knuckle under and say, well, they are the government. They are God. Yeah. You know, I do have to, worship the state.
Yep, and that's what we're trying to change. Thank you so much for your call, Lou. It's good to hear. If you want to call common in, sense coming out of you,
if you're if you want to call in about anything, especially if you're a vet, if you want to call in, it's 1-855-660-4261 is the call in number on the Freedom Fiends to give
and
us.
It looks
your
like
thoughts.
we have Howard from Philadelphia who also wants to talk about Veterans Day. Let's see what Howard has to say. Are you there, Howard? You're on the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show.
Hey, Michael and Nima, how you guys doing?
Hey, Howard,
doing well.
First time caller, welcome.
Yeah, I'm first time caller, but I've been listening to your show for several months now. And I really like it. I bought your book, Michael, The Guide to the Human Experience.
User's Manual to the Human Experience,
yeah. Yeah, right. And I like it, and I have thoughts about that, but I wanted to I'll express some thoughts about Veterans Day first and then maybe relate some of that if I have a chance.
Are you a veteran?
I am. I did 4 years in the Marine Corps.
Well, thank you.
I went in 2 weeks after. No, don't thank me because...
Really?
That's the thing, like... Everybody's like, thank you for your service. You know what? They paid me to do what I did. I went in because I didn't have the opportunity to go to college when I got out of high school. I was kind of like, I was like a stoner growing up through high school. And, you know, I was never a troublemaker, but I saw that, like, if I didn't do something, I was going to probably be pretty lost after because those are hard times for a young man, like the ages of 18 to 21, like, if you're not going to college, you're really, like, thrown at the mercy of, you're not going to have a good job. You're going to be working for, like, the minimum amount anybody's going to want be willing to pay you. And it's just a tough time being a young man at that age. So I wasn't going to be able to go to college. So, yeah, I went in the Marine Corps two weeks after I got my GED and graduated high school. And I went in to be a cook, and it was a good experience in many ways, but... Like,
well, go ahead and hold that thought there, Howard. We're going to bring you on for a little bit after we take this quick trip to the market. So we'll have more from Howard in just a little bit.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Freedom All Fiends.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. And the way this works is we'll do a tweak in review, but we do have a caller. We have Howard, who's actually carried over from our last segment. Now, Howard is a veteran, and he had some things he wanted to say about his service. You know, Veterans Day is coming up, and a lot of what we've been talking about today is the memes surrounding government, i.e. what people say when they hear somebody was a veteran, and what people say when they hear somebody's an IRS agent or a post office employee or any of these things. Now, Howard's going to give us his take. Are you there on the air with us, Howard?
Yeah, I am. You know, I just want to be clear that I don't mean to disrespect the people and the families that have lost their loved ones, because I can only, you know, I know that. I can imagine how painful that is, and I'm sorry, you know. I just don't believe it's right. And I mean, we're honorable human beings, and you know, the government is the way it is, and they have conditioned people to believe that the aggression that they do is a right, is a good thing. And I just truly, as being as done my time in service and seeing the way things are, is I don't believe it's right. I think that our government is an aggressive. Aggressive against other countries when they shouldn't. You know, there's one thing about self-defense, but there's another thing about being just an oppressor. They do the same thing with their citizens, with their stupid drug prohibitions and everything, and I think that they're using us. And I have like a few seconds just to be clear. I love, you know, I'm a human being that tries to do the best I can, and I think all of us, basically, that is our nature. And, you know, things have to change, because it's not right to be violent, even though that, you know, people do have to stand up for ourselves, and, you know, you have to be, you know, not be weak or let people walk over you, but don't hurt other people, no matter what, you know. And I think that, you know, it's just, I'm, you know, I believe what they told me, hook, line, and sinker. I would run around in boot camp and tell them they were brainwashing us to kill communists. I've never met a communist that I needed thought I needed to kill. Honestly, mm-hmm. You know, and I would have done it. I was so into it. I was a Marine. I would have killed anyone they told me to. And now I'm 47 years old. I'm a middle aged man, and I look back to those days. I got out when I was 22 or something. I'm not the same person, because I know better now. So I mean, I'm not trying to discredit anybody who thinks that they're doing the right thing, but please, I mean, think twice, because, I mean...
Right. Use your own conscience. Yeah, violence isn't the answer. Use your own conscience. Thank you so much, Howard. We really appreciate your honesty. We appreciate you calling. And yeah, man, that's it. That's basically the root of the whole episode today, was that's what needs to change. You know, Sarah Palin, this is our tweak and review now. Sarah Palin said the church of the government is what's wrong, and she's completely right.
Tell us. Yeah. Tell us what Sarah Palin did to you today.
So she's right. She's right. The problem is the church of the government. It's the belief in the state. But she's wrong in the sense that it's one wing or the other wing that's wrong and one wing is right. No, it's the whole thing. We went through the whole episode, or at least 45 minutes. You know,
it's the whole bird, not one wing or the other.
Right. It's the whole bird, talking about how the government, by its existence, by its actions, by the people in it, violates the Ten Commandments. We even took her conception of morality in that sense and proved her wrong on that. Now, the solution is not voting, because, like we said, voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. Rather, the solution is replacing the concept that people in the state are heroes, or at least the concept that they're exempt from the morals we expect from everyone else. Howard realizes now, at least, that killing because somebody told you to kill is not a moral thing. It's not an upright thing. Whereas in the past, he says he was brainwashed to believe that, just to listen to the orders and pull the trigger as directed. And the meme of that, hey, that's not right, is what we're trying to push here at the Freedom Fiends. And hopefully we chipped away at that state armor a little bit today. If you want to hear more, go ahead and go to freedomfiends.com. Listen to all our archives, or get our torrents too. There's many ways you can listen to the Fiends. Thank you so much.
thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.